We're kind of backing up the truck in Matthew, back to the Beatitudes, as many of you will recognize this scripture. We're in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. On my account, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Can anybody guess what happened 82 years ago this past Thursday, on the 30th of October? H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds was broadcast on CBS Radio. Many people did not tune in at the beginning of the broadcast to hear that this was time for a dramatization of H.G. Wells' novel. CBS Radio, often being a news station, they heard the War of the Worlds coming on and assumed that it was news. And some level of panic rose in that. The thing that I want to point out is that it made perfect sense for those tuning in late to believe it was news. It was a station that normally broadcast news. It sounded like a news report. It had the authority of a news report. They had, for crying out loud, Orson Welles as the voiceover doing it. And everybody thought they knew what was going on. Well, what I wanted to point out is that is the same thing that often happens with Scripture. People begin to understand, begin to think, well, it is what it is. You read the words and it means what it says. Yes, if you understand who's talking, who they're talking to, the setting in which it's being spoken, and the language it's being spoken in. One of the problems that we have is we don't really read Aramaic or Greek or Hebrew, and that's the language it's written in. So sometimes we come up to this scripture lesson and people have the wrong questions. So I'm trying to be someone who mourns, who's poor in spirit, who's persecuted. That's just stupid. Well, yeah, it is. That's pretty stupid, because that's not what the word means, to quote Bob the Tomato from VeggieTales. Sometimes you have to understand context. Has anybody ever uttered the words, "Man, it's raining cats and dogs out there"? When you said it, did you look outside and actually see a cat or a dog? falling from the sky? No, there are figures of speech, and there are things that are understood literally and things that are allegories, things that are object lessons, things that set it apart. And you have to understand that each piece of scripture is to be read and understood in the proper context. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's called them aside. And the first thing that you have to start thinking about is, what does that mean? Because sometimes the disciples is Peter, James, and John. Sometimes it's a 12. Sometimes it's a 70. Sometimes it's a 70 plus the other people like Mary, Mother of God, Mary Magdalene. It could be bigger and bigger group. It seems in this case it's the bigger and bigger group. And he seems to be preparing them for what is coming up. He's not saying, you really need to get out there and get persecuted. No, he's saying, you're going to be persecuted. But know that that means a blessing. You see, the word in Greek is metakos. In Hebrew, it's something like Asher. I kind of read Greek. Once upon a time, I tried to read Hebrew. I gave that up a long time ago. But that has at least four meanings. Blessed, happy, or I think more appropriate in this case, fortunate. Because those who are in Christ are fortunate in these cases because they have the strength that comes from God. It is something different than what the rest of the world is dealing with. So as we're going down and we understand, we hear the word blessed, we're supposed to be thinking fortunate or receiving a blessing. Someone who is poor in spirit. Yesterday, one of the runners was referring to another one of the runners, and they think they're all that and a side of fries. That person is not poor in spirit. They think they've got everything they need and more, and they don't need nobody. Well, someone who's poor in spirit understands that they need Jesus. And if you understand that you need Jesus, you receive from Jesus. You can't receive it if you don't thirst for more of that spirit. I'm going to make a quick jump and go to blessed are the meek. Meek is another word that doesn't transfer well into English. It sounds like I'm supposed to be a doormat and let people just walk all over me and I'll be rewarded in the next life. But if you look at the Bible, they talk about oxen and meeking an oxen. What it means is that you are channeling the strength and energy. I heard Reggie White speak on this at Promise Keepers. And he said Reggie White was a defensive end for the Philadelphia Eagles and the Green Bay Packers in the NFL. And he said, I had to realize that I needed to be meek. Nobody I ever knew called Reggie White meek. Reggie White was a force of nature. But he said, I have to understand that at any point I can just take off, knock the offensive lineman down, and smash the quarterback into the ground. But if I do it before the ball is snapped, I get a penalty, they get 15 yards, and my team gets hurt. He says, I have to channel that energy for the exact moment that it's ready for. He says, if I channel all the energy of my legs and my arms and my body and my timing in the right moment, I accomplish my goal. But I have to understand the discipline of the coaching and the game and the team. That's what meekness is. It's allowing Jesus to be your coach. He doesn't want you to be a wimp, but he wants you to channel all that energy channel everything toward what it is he needs you to do. Hunger and thirst for righteousness kind of is a doublet of the poor in spirit. If you hunger and thirst for it, you do get it. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I don't think most of us are going to see God in this life, because becoming pure in heart is difficult in a fallen world. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. The disciples are going to have to be peacemakers in the world that is about to come. And we're going to have to be peacemakers in the world in which we live. So blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, when people revile you, persecute you, and utter all sort of evil against you, falsely on my account. He's telling them the blessing is going to come even as the persecution comes. So now I return to blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. See, this understanding that happiness is something that you can just pursue and grab hold of is what the world wants to believe and what the world tends to encourage us to do. My son is in the Army, and when I went in the Army, the theme of the Army was be all you can be. Join the Army. Almost every day in basic training, somebody laughed about that line. About the same time, there was a beer commercial. I won't even give you the beer, but it said, who says you can't have it all? Common sense tells you you can't have it all. When I was young, there was a man made by the name of Bob Seger. And in the song Beautiful Loser, he says he wants to dream like a young man with the vision of an old man. He wants home and security, wants to live like a sailor at sea. You choose one, you lose the other. You don't get it all. There'll be times in life when you're happy, but there are going to be times when you mourn. And if you mourn in Christ, in the community of faith in which you find yourself today, you will be comforted. Somewhere in my file cabinet is a frame of a verse, and it says, blessed are they, for they shall be comforted. But also, how can we live like those that have no hope when we have faith in Christ? We live in a world that seems to be living without hope. We are not those people. God has put us here so they will look to us. And when they see this, they'll say, wait a second. They've gone through the same stuff that we have, and yet they seem to have hope. As said before, as we come to the communion table and we experience this communion of the saints, we take the body of Christ And we invite him to come live within us, even as he lives within those who've gone before. And in that moment, we're joined. Hymnal speaks of mystic communion, the mystery. Something that we don't understand, but we feel. We appreciate. We hold fast to. We can only imagine what it's going to be like on the other side. But we do have the opportunity to hold fast to that faith until we do see, trusting those who've gone on to the love and the care of the Lord. So no, you're not supposed to seek a life of mourning or persecution. But you're supposed to know that as these things come, you too will be comforted. Let us pray. Almighty God, sometimes the words that Jesus taught don't add up. They seem in total contrast to the world in which we live. Shouldn't we just forget and be happy? Shouldn't we just move on? And then Jesus teaches us, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And if we're honest, Lord, we understand that we don't really want to forget and just be happy. We want to be comforted. Because in that healing, in that understanding, we don't find just happiness, but joy. Because we don't live as those who have no hope, but we live as those whose hope is in you. Help us to always remember this in this day and in every day to come. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.